This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our Chicago Bears, Los Angeles Rams pregame. Patrick Manley, Hub Arkish with you, and we are coming to you from the Leader Bar today in Chicago here at 3000 West Irving Park. Great, great spot to come out and spend the afternoon and evening with us. Plenty of high-def TVs everywhere to watch all the football games this afternoon. Of course, watch the Bears and the Rams this evening. We really appreciate the folks here at Leader Bar for welcoming us in today. And we've got the postgame here as well. We're going to have Miller Lite specials. We are brought to you by Miller Lite. Hold true. This hour on The Score is brought to you by Pearl Mortgage. Go to PERLDavid.com. And Pat, good afternoon to you. Great to be with you. And I guess you could say this is a big one tonight, a little bigger than what we've gotten used to the last few years. And certainly with some of the surprises going on out there today, New England Patriots lose on a last-minute miracle play in Miami. You got the Houston Texans getting knocked off. Kansas City Chiefs get taken into overtime. New Orleans Saints trailed 14-3 before bouncing back to win their football game. The chalk is not doing so well today, and that suggests that we needed any of that, that the Rams could very well be ripe for the picking for the Chicago Bears, or minimally the Bears should be ready to play with these guys today.
Hub, we've been doing this a few years now since I've retired, and this morning when I woke up, I think the first thing I told myself was game day. It's exciting now that the fact the Bears are in these games, they're being flexed to prime time, going against the 11-1 Rams tonight. You know, all day, the anticipation for this game, I am super excited, and it's finally great after all these years of working with you, seeing the Bears being built to this level where they are now. And I talked about it with Dan and Connor on Friday. This is kind of a game to find out where you really are. You know, find out with this young team where they stand. They're going against one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NFL. And it's a big litmus test for them to find out if they're for real this year, or is this a year that they're maybe getting a little ahead of themselves, where I think you and I think the same thing. We weren't expecting them to be this good this year. We were expecting maybe next year they'd take that step. And tonight they can find out if they're legit this year, I think. I think this is a good test for them. They've got, obviously, a fantastic offense and a great pass rusher, Aaron Donald. I wonder how many times we'll say Aaron Donald tonight, by the way, you know, on the defensive side. So they just got to test everywhere. And then another thing, tremendous respect for their special teams coach, John Fossil. And they have a lot of weapons there and a lot of trick plays that Chris Tabor and his unit needs to be ready for as well.
Yeah, you know, I think we've been wondering all year. There's no question that the Bears are a vastly improved football team. The talent has been upgraded significantly. We see a lot of these young players, particularly the quarterback who will return this evening, Mitch Trubisky, and hoping that they're ready to play at this level. But, you know, honestly, they've played a fairly easy schedule, and they ran into the Patriots and couldn't get it done. You know, they had the early season loss on the Packers. Now, they did have a big one in primetime on Sunday night, same spot a few weeks ago, with the Vikings, who, of course, were in the NFC title game last year, and they handled them pretty well. So I don't think there's any question that they belong, but there's also the reality that this one is the Rams are a step up in class from the Vikings.
Oh, no doubt about it. I think so for sure. And if you just look at their stats, they're superior to the Vikings. And if you look at the players, they have bigger playmakers than the Vikings. The Vikings do have a great roster, and that showed obviously last year how well they did, getting as far as they did last year. But this Rams team is just a different test. This is a high-octane offense with a go-get-you defense that will give up big plays and some points if they can exploit it. But they just have some tremendous one-on-one matchups going against certain, you know, all-star caliber players. And, you know, we'll talk about it, I'm sure, a lot, is the interior of the offensive line for the Bears tonight has to have their best game of the year, in my opinion, for them to be successful.
This hour on The Score is brought to you by Pearl Mortgage. Go to PERLDavid.com. Our phone number, if you would like to join the conversation, is 312-644-6767. We're going to have special guests popping in all afternoon and evening long. The usual suspects will be here. Greg Gabriel, who joins us in the second half of the first hour of every show, our personnel expert at ProFootballWeekly.com and here at The Score, will be with us in the second half hour here about 4:35 or 4:40. We will visit with Mark Grody from the field when the actives become available, or inactives as the case may be. Dan Pompey will stop by in the 6 o'clock hour. We will have a special report from California, from a beat reporter with the L.A. Rams. So it's all just ahead here on our pregame show. Again, 312-644-6767. And if you're not going to be listening at home or in your car, we hope that you will come by and see us. Again, we're at Leader Bar here at 3000 West Irving Park in Chicago. Couldn't be any easier to get to. We're going to stick around, watch the game, be here for the post game as well with Olin Kreutz and James Big Cat Williams. So come on out and watch some serious Bears football with us. Again, 312-644-6767, the phone number if you want to join the conversation. I mentioned some of the earlier action today. Interesting stuff everywhere. Actually, the late games will get you first. Right now, the Chargers up 14-3 on Cincinnati. San Francisco is beating Denver 13-0 early in the second period. Not sure a lot of folks saw that one coming. The Cowboys with a 3-0 lead on Philadelphia. Detroit and Arizona are scoreless at the end of the first period. Pittsburgh and Oakland are tied early in the second period. And then we look at these early games. Indianapolis with the upset, 24-21 over the Houston Texans in Houston. Atlanta, it came back a little bit, but the Packers were all over them. The Packers win 34-20, first game under interim head coach Joe Philbin. The New York Giants now make it 4 out of their last 5. They really whip up on Washington, 40-16. The Jets with a mild upset. They beat Buffalo in Buffalo, 27-23. Got Cleveland knocking off Carolina. What has happened to the Carolina Panthers?
I don't know. That one's shocking to me.
That is 5 straight losses for the Panthers. They lose 26-20 at Cleveland. Remember, they were 6-2, and at midseason, you thought they were in the AFC South race. They are now 6-7, and on the outside looking in the playoff chase, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, New England falls to the Miami Dolphins on the last play of the game, 34-33. One of the most bizarre things you will ever see or hear described on the radio. It was one of those short tosses, and let's pitch it around and see if we can get the ball to somebody. And they got the ball in the hands of Kenyon Drake, who, if you remember from Alabama, the 4-3 speed guy, had a huge return at the end of a national championship game. He took it into the end zone, and the Patriots fall 34-33. Kansas City in overtime, 27-24 over the Baltimore Ravens. So the Ravens got a problem now because you got Indianapolis, Baltimore, Miami all in a three-way tie at 7-6. New Orleans comes back, handles Tampa Bay fairly easily at 28-14. So that is all the action to date so far in the NFL.
Hub, when you walked in here, I asked you about that Miami game, if you saw it, and obviously you didn't because we were both driving in at the same time, and I think we were listening to the same radio call on SiriusXM, the NFL network, and it was hysterical because they were describing the play and they were kind of wrapping up their broadcast, figuring the game was over, and I guess Bob Greasy is in the booth, and they're talking about, you know, Rob Gronkowski's back there to help maybe knock down a bomb and a pass, and they got into the subject of thanking Bob Greasy's wife about the Cuban sandwiches that they were given before the game, and they had ate, and they're like, oh, you know, okay, great game, blah, blah. All right, pass is thrown. The next thing you know, they are going crazy. It's always fun to listen to a home call in those situations. That got my juices flowing thinking about Tom and Jeff tonight. Hopefully they can get some exciting calls like that as well down there in Soldier Field. But that was fun to watch, or fun to listen to on that side of it, because normally I'm sitting on the couch somewhere watching the national broadcast. But when you can hear that come through the local broadcaster's voice and the excitement going from talking about a Cuban sandwich to winning a game, that was a pretty good call.
Yeah, you know, and it's one of those plays, we've all seen it 1,000 times, and you assume it's never going to work. Right? You know, I mean, it almost has no chance from the time they start. As I understood it, because I didn't see it, I was in the car, but the way they described it, it sounds like it had a clear path there for about 30
minutes. At the end, and I've watched a couple of the replays on Twitter or on the computer here, that it looked like guys kind of, you know what it looked like? The game in Miami when the Bears played down there, when they thought somebody else was going to make the tackle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's where guys were kind of getting to this spot but not finishing the play, and the next thing you know, they had one more pitch, and he cut it back, and he was up the field for the touchdown.
All right, we're going to jump to the phones, Patrick. For some reason, we're having a little computer issue, or at least I am here. And I'm seeing I've got a call from Melrose Park. I don't have a name. Oh, I do. I'm sorry. It's just the angle that this is on, and I can't read it. Hold on.
I might be able to help you with my younger
Vince.
Eyes.
There you go. Thank you. I think I need some younger eyes here. Vince is in Melrose Park. Vince, how you doing?
How you doing today, boys?
Hello, Vince.
Yes, yes.
Happy game day.
Yep, yes. We got you.
Okay, cool. So my question was just in regards to the national coverage outside of Chicago about the Bears. It seems like a lot of times when certain professionals or media members are taking their picks, They always say, you know, Mitch Trubisky is unproven, so they don't know what they're going to give him. The offense is a little bit unproven, so they don't know what to expect. But they have Khalil Mack, so they have a chance. But without looking at the numbers, it would actually seem like guys like Akeem Hicks are actually, you know, bigger presences in the defense. You know, he makes a lot of tackles in the run game. He gets a lot of sacks. And so I just wonder, you know, why is it that a lot of the media members are still, you know, unsure, or they really don't dive into the Bears like they may dive into some of the other division leaders around the league. I was just wondering, why is it taking maybe so long for the Bears to get the benefit of the doubt in some form or fashion?
Vince, I'll let Hub take the real answer of the media, but I'll just give you my idea from a player's perspective. I don't think you deserve the respect until you deserve the respect, and they're working their way to get there. Yes, they had the big win against the Vikings on Sunday night. That was a national win for them, but they need to continue winning and win these big games, and then that's when you get the respect. That's when you'll have these national reporters coming in weekly, not just for the big national games. Like this week, I'm sure Hallis Hall was full with all the national reporters in because it was the big national game, but is it going to be, you know, are the national reporters, will they be there when they play the 49ers a couple weeks down the road? Maybe if they continue winning, if they win this game and beat the Packers. So as a player, you have to earn that respect for the from the national media.
Yeah, Vince, I mean, I think there's a few things here, and I can't really speak for anybody in the media but myself, but I can tell you in terms of how I do my job, this is a football team that is 8-24 over the last two seasons, and that's who is on that. That's the bulk of this roster. Yes, they've made additions. Some of those players that were 8-24 are vastly improved, and that's why they're so much better this year. But you've got to, as Pat said, earn that on the field. You got to prove it. And given opportunities to prove it, we've had two situations this year where we've said, boy, these are classic traps. Good teams don't fall into these. Well, the Bears apparently fell into both of them, although I'm not sure that was a trap last week against the Giants. I thought that was more that pick six on the second play, because they really had still turned around and were dominating at halftime. I had some issues with the game that was called there. But at the end of the day, they haven't won all the games they're supposed to win, which is what great teams do when everybody is believing in them and jumping on, you know, the pile. I think that you win a game like tonight. I know that they definitely went up in people's estimation, Pat, after the Viking game.
Yes.
And now you win again tonight. If they win tonight, everybody's going to say they're legitimate Super Bowl contenders.
Agreed. And I think I heard some guys talking on this station during the week that what is going to be the conversation if they do win? Do you throw out Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. And I think for sure you do, because if you beat the arguably the best team in the NFL. I know it's a home game, but if you beat them, that puts you in the conversation. That means you can beat anybody, obviously, and this will be a great one. If they win this one, this will go so far in that locker room for their belief and where they can go down the play in the playoffs. It'll just make a big difference. I mentioned it on Friday with Dan and Connor about the Pittsburgh Steelers game in 05, Hub, that we went up to Pittsburgh. We were good. I think we were 8-3 or 9-3 at the time. Pittsburgh was 7-5. But they were darn good. Obviously, they were great because they went on to win the Super Bowl that year. But to me, it felt like that was a game where it was a prove-it game. We wanted to find out how good we were. Well, we went up there and we lost 21-9. Jerome Bettis, you know, had a big game. Ben Roethlisberger did his thing in the snow, and we lost. And we came home and kind of regrouped and said, all right, we're not there yet. Yes, we have 9 wins so far, but we're not there with the big, big boys yet that have been there every year. And we kind of regrouped, and we went forward after that, and we came back the next year and obviously had a good year in losing in the Super Bowl. But there's games like this where it can go a long way in the locker room, whether even if they lose, you can maybe bring it together and say, all right, we're not there yet. How do we get there? But if they win, maybe they take it the other way and say, hey, man, let's do this.
Yeah, Vince, I think the other thing is that you never punish a team for playing an easy schedule. They don't make the schedule. They don't choose their opponents. But you have to evaluate and analyze those games. And now, you know, it changes week to week. But coming into today, the Bears had literally played the easiest schedule in the NFL amongst the contenders. Now that changes because suddenly the Giants have won 4 out of 5. That doesn't look so easy. The Dolphins are 7-6. Doesn't look so easy. So you watch it from week to week, but it's all about, you know, looking at all the factors. It's not as simple as Khalil Mack. And by the way, your premise, it all started with Khalil Mack. I think Khalil Mack is incredible. I love the trade. Really excited about the future of this defense. Khalil Mack has not really been quite the same player since he injured that ankle in Miami. You know, let's be honest about this. You look at the first four games, he was right there with Aaron Donald. There'd be a debate about who the defensive MVP is now. He looks to be maybe 80-90% now. He's contributing every week, but he is not dominating the way he did the first quarter of the season. And these are the things that you're watching and analyzing. If Khalil Mack the last couple weeks had played the same way he did the first four games, I'd probably have a little different attitude about this game tonight. Not as confident as the way this defense was dominating earlier, because not everybody's firing on all cylinders right now.
That's a great point, Hub. And I wonder how his brain works. We obviously will not know. We're not inside there. But is he maybe taking this a game where he is competing against Aaron Donald? Mm-hmm. His stat line, he wants to see his stat line greater than Aaron Donald. And, you know, Khalil's obviously a great competitor, a great player, and has been Defensive Player of the Year in the NFL. So he maybe not need that, does not need that. But I'm just wondering inside if he's sitting in the hotel right now or at walking into Soldier Field, like, I want my stat line to be better than Aaron Donald's tonight. I need it to be, and let's make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be one of the two first-team All-Pro outside linebackers. Nobody is criticizing Khalil Mack.
No.
I'm more talking about the injury, and you know, we don't get a lot of information here.
Well, and how that level he was playing at was unreal.
Otherworldly.
If he sustained that for the rest of the entire year, like you said, that you could argue he's better than Aaron Donald, because I believe he's forced more fumbles than Aaron Donald already. I think Aaron Donald only has four, and I think Khalil Mack has five.
Yeah, I mean, you can still have the argument. Aaron Donald is going to set a rather amazing record. He's got 16 and a half sacks for a defensive tackle. The record, I believe, is 18 from Keith Millard. I was talking about this with Dave Wanstead the other day. He's going to get that. But other than the sacks, Donald has not necessarily been more of a game changer than Khalil Mack, certainly not every week. So that's a fair conversation. But that's what's so exciting about tonight. That's what, you know, it's all on the field there tonight. Now we're going to find out. At the end of the day, the Rams' defense isn't nearly as good as the Bears, not production-wise. They've got great names, but they're not playing that way. You flip it around, though, and the Rams' offense is well ahead of where Trubisky and the Bears' offense is now, and that's what's going to be so much fun about tonight. So, Mike, if you'll hang on just a minute, we're going to get back to the phones, 312-644-6767. We do have to take a very quick break. You've got your Bears-Rams pregame here at 670 The Score, and you've got it coming to you from Leader Bar here at 3000 West Irving Park in Chicago. We're here until probably 12:30, 1 o'clock this morning with the postgame. So come on by, guys. Come on out and have a Miller Lite with us. Get some of the great food here. Looking forward to seeing you. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to our Chicago Bears, Los Angeles Rams pregame here at 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. Our phone number, 312-644-6767. I am Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, alongside a lot of our regular pals will be joining us during the course of the next 3 hours. But right now, we're at those phones, and Mike is out in Rockford. Mike, thanks for dialing us up. How you doing this afternoon?
Good afternoon, guys. Hub, I got to tell you, I sat home today and I watched a Packer-Falcon game. And I got to tell you, I'm a little bit scared about Green Bay. I despise that team. Always have. They've owned the Bears forever. And what scares me, and hypothetically, I was listening to Molly in the morning earlier in the week, and they're all saying, oh, you know, this is not a must-win game this Sunday. But let's just hypothetically put this scenario out there, okay? Let's say the Bears go out tonight, lay an egg, they lose to the Rams, okay? Then they go. They have another home game. They host the Packers. Packers have owned them. Rodgers has owned them. So it's not hard to believe that they could lose to the Packers. Let's say they lose to the Packers. Then they go on the road. They play the 49ers. They would probably beat the 49ers. Then they have the Vikings. That could come down to who's going to win the division. And correct me if I'm wrong, Hub, if the Bears do win only one out of their remaining four games left, they would still have a better record than the Packers, even if they lost both head-to-head games against the Packers, and essentially, I believe, would win the wild card in that division by half a game. But it just scares me with the Packers getting back in there, and if they do make the playoffs, Hub, how scary is this team? I don't know if you watched the game, but Rodgers looked like Rodgers, and they got a good running game, and it looks like they're playing for something now. Kind of scares the crap out of me, so I'll listen to you what you got to say. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, Mike, I disagree with your premise. If you go back to the first game of the season, it was the Bears who kicked the crap out of the Packers for 45 minutes, and then they couldn't finish. Aaron Rodgers took over. We know who Aaron Rodgers is. We know how good he is. The idea that all that was wrong with the Packers was Mike McCarthy is just silly. That is not the case. It was a big game for them today. Their coach got fired. They, I'm sure, wanted to go out and prove themselves. They did play very well. Atlanta Falcons have one of the worst defenses in the NFL. Bears have one of the best defenses in the NFL. So am I going to sit here and tell you the Packers can't come in and beat the Bears? And of course they can, but do I expect them to? Not really. I want to see what happens tonight first.
Yeah.
So the answer to your question is that I think that your fear is based on nothing but what we were talking about at the top of the show, which is who the Bears have been the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years and not who they are now. And that said, you still got to go out, Pat, and play them every Sunday. We'll see what they do this Sunday, next Sunday, and then that part of it will take care of itself.
Yeah, I think any time, obviously, when you have Aaron Rodgers back there, that gives you, you know, a chance to win. And then the other thing this week for the Falcons is with Mike McCarthy being fired, he called the plays. Well, you've got to take all those tendencies that you had breaking down of the Packers for the past 12, 13 weeks. They're gone because you don't know exactly how Joe Philbin's going to call the game. And like you said, the Atlanta Falcons defense has really been struggling this year. They've had a lot of injuries. And Quinn down there had an open book. He didn't know what they were going to run. He didn't know what their tendencies were. So he knew the players. He could scout the players. But he can't go back and watch tape and be like, all right, in this situation, you know, 72% of the time they like to run this. Out of this formation, they like to run that. Because you just don't know. You don't know how Coach Philbin's going to call the game. I didn't get a chance to watch the game, and I think that will help. And I wish I could have, because I would like to see if I noticed any big differences or anything like that. I doubt it was that big of a difference, but you're worried about percentages of when he's going to make certain calls, when is he going to run it, does he run this out of this formation. But one thing that does help the Bears now is they at least have one game under their belt to scout the new coaching staff or the new, you know, coordinator up there now.
Yeah, I watched chunks of the first half kind of with one eye on the screen. You know, it's interesting when we get this weird schedule, there's all kinds of other things. Mm-hmm. You got to do your work, trying to get ahead of the week, whatever. They look good. Rodgers mm-hmm. looked very good. But they still have the same problems they had before McCarthy was fired. Their offensive line is extremely vulnerable. Atlanta was not able to leverage or take advantage of that.
And they're one of the worst pass-rushing teams in the NFL, correct?
They have been, yeah. You know, all of a sudden, Tack McKinley and Vince Beasley have been a little bit better the last couple of weeks, but I just don't think that what happened today is a reason to suddenly assume the Bears don't make the playoffs, which was kind of Mike's premise. So, I think we went a little too far with that one. Again, 312-644-6767 is our phone number. You know, Pat, I think what I'm the most intrigued to see tonight, we all know how good Aaron Donald is. He is going to line up on the outside shoulder of James Daniels for a great chunk of this football game. James Daniels is a promising young prospect. He's gotten better from week to week. I don't think he's ready for this test, as is anybody else in the NFL, because Donald is dominating everybody. How the Bears attempt to help Daniels, how they attempt to take the action away from Donald, force him to chase as opposed to attack, how they handle that matchup, to me, is going to be the kind of the chess match of the game. It's kind of... you know, really, everybody's so focused on Sean McVay and Vic Fangio, but I think this particular matchup between Wade Wilson and Matt Nagy is really kind of curious, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do.
Yeah, this is a good one, because you got not only James Daniels, but you got Witzman, who's a journeyman guard. He's a better pass protector than he is in the run game, but the one good strength that Mitch Trubisky has is throwing on the run. Mm-hmm. So why not do that a lot more today? Get some little nakeds where he's rolling out play-action rollouts. Just get him on the run and move that pocket so Aaron Donald has to chase him and he's not just a guy sitting at 7.5 to 9 yards right behind the center every play. I think that's the number one thing they need to do. And there's another thing. I think Olin brought it up on Friday. And if you go back and look at the old Packers, was it William Henderson was the fullback?
Yeah,
that would stand. That would stand there kind of in front of Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers late in his, or early in his career, and he would almost chip for the guard. So he would take care of the A-gap and B-gap. That's an idea you can do with the running back. So what you do is you have them line up in that area, and then they release through that gap to give a little help and maybe a little chip on Aaron Donald, as long as you can hold the guys off the edge. But that's another game plan situation. I wouldn't be surprised to see that maybe once or twice just to kind of help that guard feel comfortable early in the game.
Yeah, now, and one thing I'll be curious about that is Jordan Howard, for whatever his struggles running the football have been, has been excellent in pass protection. He really jumps out on the tape on his occasion, really taking people on, being in the right place. Tariq Cohen, Taequann Mizell, not so much.
Right.
So we'll see what the snap counts look like, and if Jordan Howard, not because they necessarily want to recommit to the running game, but just because he needs to be a protector out
there,
I would think would probably get more snaps tonight.
And maybe Benny Cunningham as well.
Is he out?
I don't know. Is he back from his ankle? I'm not sure. I guess we'll find out from the
I'm trying to remember now. I was sitting there Friday. He wasn't listed as out. much, but I do know that he was
on the injury report,
still
right?
limited. Yeah, okay. So I'm not sure, you know, what they can look forward to there. 312-644-6767, the phone number. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Give the gift of live sports this season with the Chicago Wolves Holiday Pack. Each pack includes tickets to the game of your choice, merchandise, food, and free parking all at one low price. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. Let's get one more call in before we break for Mr. Gabriel. Edward is out. He's here on the north side. Edward, how you doing?
All right, let me run this playoff picture down for you, okay? To the fellow that mentioned the Green Bay Packers are out of the playoffs, okay? At this point in the season, if you're below 500, if you're below 6-6-1, you're out of the playoffs. It works 99% of the time. Right now, there are five teams fighting for two playoff spots in the NFC. The Bears and Minnesota, one will win the division, the other will be in the playoffs. Picture. The others, Philadelphia, Dallas, one will win the division, one will be in the playoff mix. Last one, Seattle. That's it in a nutshell. Good day, gentlemen.
Edward, I appreciate the call. You're really wrong, but you know, thank you for sharing that wisdom with us.
That was outstanding. Thank you.
Yeah,
I needed a good laugh.
I mean, you know, technically there's one team that's been eliminated in the NFC, or at least there had been coming into today. That was the San Francisco 49ers.
But he did say 99% of the time, so there's that 1% chance.
Well, but that's not true either. that was Edward's own hand-picked stat, Now we've got both extremes of the problem, and nobody's talking about the real issue.
Yeah.
I can tell you this stat because I know it to be a fact. 87% of the time when you win 10 games, you're in the playoffs, okay? If the Minnesota Vikings...
Except 2010.
They were the 13%. Right. They were 10-6 and didn't get it, and Lovey got fired.
Yep.
So they were in that dreaded 13%. Mm-hmm. But I do know that if the Minnesota Vikings cannot pull the upset at Seattle tomorrow night, the Chicago Bears are the only team in the NFC North that can win 10 games. It will win the division, and they will be in the playoffs. So rather than all this other panic and all this other silly stuff, realize that they're in great shape. All they got to do is win two of their last four. Now, if the Vikings pull the upset tomorrow night, stranger things can happen. But this is where you start to look at the wild card picture. If the Eagles lose today, they can't win 10. Panthers lost today, they can't win 10. So the Bears are in great shape in terms of a chance at making the playoffs. Now you got to go out and win the football games that you have to play in order to deserve to be in the playoffs.
No doubt. And Hub, let's go back to last week. When we walked into the studio before the show, we had a little we were nervous about that game against the Giants. And it showed to be right. I think we both picked a win because I think maybe we talked ourselves to them beating them. But the great thing that happened that is continually happening for the Bears, they have good luck going in their favor. The three other teams in the division lost, and that helped tremendously because that would have scared me much more going into this game if Minnesota would have won last week and the Bears had their loss last week.
It was almost like a win or a tie because instead of a game and a half lead for the division title with five to play, now you got it with four to play. Mm-hmm. So it's ticking off each Sunday and doing what you have to do. I think what would be more fun for everybody tonight, guys, let's talk about the Rams. Let's talk about this game. I see no reason to be panicking about the Bears' playoff possibilities, whether they win or lose tonight. They've already beaten the Vikings once. If they have to go into Minnesota and beat them on the last Sunday of the season to get in the playoffs, maybe they do that. There's all kinds of weird scenarios here. You could end up a situation where if the Bears do come apart the next couple of weeks, where the Vikings clinch week 16 and they've got the division and the Bears are playing for a wild card spot going in there and the Vikings are playing for nothing. It's not likely. I'm not predicting it, but all these things are still on the table. So to sit here and lay all these scenarios out is kind of a waste of time.
This is fun. This is a lot better than years past because at this time of the year, we were talking about draft picks. Mm-hmm. We were already doing college scouting and figure out where the Bears were going to be slotted in the draft and who they needed and who we wanted to get picked. And this just makes it a lot of fun. It's great to argue about playoffs and playoff seeding. This is what is so fun about the NFL and this city, too. When the Bears win, it's just electric. And this is going to be, like you said, tonight's game is going to be awesome. And it's just going to give, more fire to this conversation. And hopefully they win it. And we feel a lot more comfortable with where they'll be in the playoffs.
At the end of the day, guys, there have been some big games today with the Ravens having control of the playoff spot and losing in overtime to the Chiefs and now not having control of the spot. The Chiefs now having a two-game advantage on the one seed. The Patriots getting upset. The Texans getting upset. The Chiefs going to overtime. And with all that, the best game of the weekend is Bears-Rams tonight at Soldier Field. I don't know why we're sitting here talking about the possibility right. that the Bears wouldn't be in the playoffs. I mean, it's not a story right now,
right.
Unless the doubters want to make it a story. So, guys, we're going to take another quick break here. When we get back, Greg Gabriel, he's our personnel expert here at 670 The Score, of course, at ProFootballWeekly.com. Greg, over 30 years as an NFL scout, almost a decade running the college personnel department for the Chicago Bears. We're going to visit with Greg Gabriel in just a moment here at The Score. Welcome back to our Bears-Rams pregame, everybody. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Annual timeshare maintenance fees are hitting the mail just in time for the holidays. If it's time to get out, call Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out legally and forever. Call 844-915-EXIT or timeshareexitteam.com. Thank you so much for being with us. I am Hub Arkush, along with Patrick Manley. We're going to take you right up to kickoff out at Soldier Field, which is at 7:20 this evening. We are on the road. We'd love to have you come out and see us. We're filling up nicely here at Leader Bar on the north side of Chicago. We are at 3000 West Irving Park, really right off of the Kennedy. It's about a mile and a half just east of the highway. You can come in off the drive as well. We've got all kinds of Miller Lite specials for you this evening. They are our host as well as Leader Bar. The food looks outstanding. Lots of Bears fans here already. And everywhere you turn, there's a high-def screen where you can watch the game. So come on out and see us. Pat, I don't know if Pat's going to stay for the whole game or not.
I'll be here.
All right, Patrick's going to be here.
I'll be done. Maybe I'll get to enjoy an adult beverage or three.
There you go. I won't be done, and I'll enjoy an adult beverage or three. Olin and Kat will, too,
yeah,
I'm sure.
I hope so.
Olin
while we're watching a win.
Yeah, Big Cat Williams. We'll all be out here getting ready for our post game, which will come to you from Leader Bar tonight as well. But right now, we want to welcome in one of our regular guests every week, 16 times a year. Greg Gabriel joins us. Greg now currently working with me at Pro Football Weekly, ProFootballWeekly.com, also a regular here on The Score. Of course, spent about 30-plus years, not about, but 30-plus years as an NFL scout, spent almost a decade as the director of college scouting for the Chicago Bears. Greg, great to have you alongside again this week. And let me bring you in where the callers have kind of gotten us started. It's funny that Giants game last week appears to have made it panic time a little bit. All of our calls so far are, gee, what if the Bears come apart? What if they don't make the playoffs? What if this happens? What if that happens? I think from your scouting perspective, you can explain to everybody, if you agree, a little different Bears team than what we've been used to the last 6-7 years. The talent has been significantly upgraded. I think the coaching, you could argue, has been significantly upgraded. I don't see any reason to be panicking right now that they're somehow going to drop out of the playoffs.
No, I don't think there's a reason to panic, but there is reason for concern. And by the way, isn't it great doing these shows when they're winning and these games mean something? Makes the show a lot more fun, doesn't it?
Whole
no
different
doubt.
World.
But anyway, yeah, I think the Bears, and I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks, they need two more wins, in my mind, to clinch the NFC North. And I don't know what the math is, but I think that puts them in a very comfortable situation. Last week should have been one of those wins. And you look ahead at the remaining four games, including tonight, the other game they should win is San Francisco. And there's tough games. Green Bay had a heck of a game. And Joe Philbin's first game as head coach with the Packers, they blew out the Falcons. That game's next week. Then you got San Francisco the week after that. That Minnesota, you got to find a way to win two of these four games. And, you know, it's not an easy task. So my way of thinking, let's get it done tonight. Get a win.
All right, Greg, let's start with the Rams. There's been a lot written and talked about the comparison between the Rams and the Bears this year, you know, all of it, how it's been moving forward. How do you compare these two teams talent-wise? And then if you look at the Rams and you compare that talent, where do you see their weaknesses?
Well, I think that if you look at the blueprint that the Rams used last year when they brought in Sean McVay as the head coach and then brought in a lot of new personnel, Jared Goff had very little around him his first year as a rookie, very similar to the Bears situation last year. So the Bears are, or in a way, seem to be following that blueprint. Both have strong teams. I think one of the advantages the Rams have is that they're in year two of their program, and this is the rookie year with the Bears. But, you know, looking at their rosters, The offensive lines are similar. The Rams probably got a little better, but, you know, one of the weak points of the Rams team, in my opinion, is their interior offensive line. When you look at the defenses, obviously the interior of the Rams defensive line is one of the best in football, with Aaron Donald, arguably the best player in the NFL, or the best defensive player anyway in the NFL this year, maybe the best player. And then you got Ndamukong Suh next to him, and they've got a strong interior defensive line. I don't think they got the players on the outside that the Bears have. You know, there's just each team's got their own strengths, and they're in different areas. Bears got a better secondary, and I think when you look at the Rams' secondary, that's an area that the Bears have to attack. Marcus Peters has not had, you know, a strong year, not played up to what we saw when he was in Kansas City. Tlaib has missed a lot of time this year. He's getting a little bit older. That's a situation, I think, or matchups that the Bears got to go after. But at the same time, you got to find a way to block Aaron Donald, and that's going to be tough.
Is your scouting report on Khalil Mack any different in the last, let's say, 9 weeks from the first 4 weeks or 5 weeks since he injured himself at Miami?
You know, I still don't think he's 100% Hub. And when you get a high ankle sprain like he had, those can linger for a long time. Obviously, some of the production hasn't been there as compared to the first, you know, few weeks in the season before he got the injury. One thing that's interesting, and we were talking about this when I was on this morning, you know, in the first part of the year, first before the injury anyway, and even a little bit after, he was playing almost exclusively on the left side. And now, as we're going into the back third of the season, he's playing a lot more on the right side, and Floyd is playing more on the left side. And when I thought about it, I thought, well, that maybe part of that reason, Mack is good on either side, but Floyd was always better. Like last year, he had his good production. Even the year before, had his good production when he was playing on the left side. And the Bears brass might have thought by moving him to the left side, they're really increasing you're hurting the productivity as compared to Mack on the left side. But at the same time, you're increasing the right side, putting Mack there, and then Leonard Floyd comes back up to where he was the year before.
Take me inside the personnel department. The Bears, we've talked earlier, are now in position that we're talking playoffs, and they have the Rams coming in who have the best record in the league and have, like you just said, some great talent there. In the personnel department for a game like this, sitting up in maybe the skybox or whatever with Ryan Pace, is he looking at this like a litmus test to try to figure out, you know, obviously how good you are, but maybe where some of your holes are, where you're getting exposed? How much of like a game like this where you are going against talent like this goes into maybe the evaluation process of drafting, free agency, and everything like that coming up in the offseason?
Well, I don't know if it plays into that because it's one individual game and we don't know how this game's going to play out. I mean, who thought, looking at last week's game, there'd be a pick six, you know, for the Giants on the second play of the game? You know, every game takes on its own little world, so to speak. But it is an important game, and you want to see how these guys are going to stand up to a team that is, you know, a year ahead of them in the program. You know, we said the same thing 3 weeks ago when they played the Vikings. It's the first time that these guys as a group had a real important big game, nationally televised game, and this is now the second time in 3 weeks. And they showed well against Minnesota. You got to hope that they do the same thing tonight against the Rams. And frankly, you know, the more I think about it, I think they are.
Greg, you look at the league as a whole right now, and there was a lot of surprises out there today. The Patriots losing that game late to the Dolphins. You've got the Ravens taking the Chiefs into overtime. The Texans get knocked off. Saints actually struggled. They won by 14. It was fairly comfortable. Part of that, I think, is we're just getting to this point in the season. But would you say that we know where the chalk is now, so to speak, that it's clear who the four favorites for the conference title games are? Or is there still usually a little more sorting out in your mind these last 3-4 weeks of the season?
I think, Hub, that it's close enough that there is some sorting out. And you know, you had some upset wins today, and that you know, changes the whole dynamic of the playoff picture a little bit. You know, the Bears losing last week, it was important that they win. They didn't, so that tightens up the race for them as far as, you know, getting into the playoffs and beating Minnesota. Now, obviously, tomorrow night's game with Minnesota is going to have a big say in that, because if they lose on the road to Seattle, that helps the Bears quite a bit. So, yeah, I think it's going to be another 2 weeks before we get a real clear picture, other than the Rams and the Saints. They got, I think, 1 and 2 locked up. But after that, it's, you don't know who's going to win the divisions. You don't know who the wild card teams are going to be. And that's the way it should be in the NFL. You don't want things locked up with 4 games to go.
Greg, the Bears are facing another great running back. Last week it was Saquon Barkley, and he obviously made a difference in that game. Tonight is Todd Gurley. Ezekiel Elliott is doing great things for the Cowboys. They have been drafted high in the NFL. I don't know where you stand on your thoughts of drafting running backs high. I know it's been debatable over the last few years. But then you can also look at Lindsey with the Broncos, and you can look at Connor with the Steelers. What are your thoughts on taking a running back high compared to maybe waiting to try to find the guy later on in the draft?
Yeah, I think the major rule of thought around the league is you can sit and wait. History shows that you can sit and wait and get a real good back, just like Jordan Howard. The Bears got him in the 5th round. He's been a pretty good player. Obviously, the production this year is down from the first 2 years, but his overall production has been outstanding, especially for a guy taken in the 5th round. But that said, when you can get a special player, and Todd Gurley, Saquon Barkley, Zeke Elliott, these guys are special. And in order to get those guys, you got to get them high. But now at the same time, look at Leonard Fournette. He had a real good rookie year, been very average this year. I think he's got like 340 yards rushing, you know, through today's games. And that's down quite a bit from where he was a year ago. So it depends on the player. It depends on your situation. You know, if you got a team like, say, the Bears were going into this past draft in April, there's no way you're going to take a running back with the pick that high. You've got to get a player that is going to be more of a difference maker in other areas. But if it's the last piece of the puzzle and you can get a guy that's special, yeah, go ahead and take him that high.
I'm not sure where you are in your draft evaluations yet, but is there any guy or any names out there right now that are in that category of Gurley, Elliott, and Saquon Barkley?
At the running back, no, not this year. I don't think there's a guy that really jumps out and says you got to take him.
Gotcha.
That's a fairly good segue, because I'm sitting here thinking, you know, normally being based here in Chicago and doing Bears stuff the last couple of years, we've been talking about the draft for 3-4 weeks already. This year we don't want to go there yet because there's good football. So one quick question, then we're going to take you back to the Bears and Rams tonight and get final analysis and a pick. But last night, Heisman Trophy, Kyler Murray. Here's a kid, got $4 million from the Oakland A's, top baseball prospect. It was understood he could play football this year, that it wouldn't affect his eligibility. But after this, you got the $4 million, you want to keep it, you go play baseball. If you're not going to, you got to give the money back. Yeah, now he's got a Heisman Trophy, so it gets interesting. He's still 5'11", 195 pounds, even with all the production. What do you think, Greg, quarterback or outfielder?
You know, I think he's going to be an outfielder, and one of the reasons is that he's a lot closer to 5'9 than 5'11 from the people who've seen him in person. And, you know, how many quarterbacks have success in the NFL that are sub 5'10? There's one guy right now that's in that 5'10 range, and that's Russell Wilson. He's 5'10 and a half. You know, look at, you know, the first pick in the draft this past April, Baker Mayfield, he was 6'1⁄2", so he's got a good 3 inches. And so, you know, I just think that when you look at him physically, his dimensions, that, yeah, he can come into the NFL and he can play and he might have success. I don't think there's any way in the world that you can say he's going to be a first-round pick. And I've talked to some people that are real close to the Oklahoma program in the last week just to get an idea, and both of them say the same thing. There's no way he's a first-round pick. He'd struggle in the NFL with the size of the offensive and defensive lineman in front of him. And then you look at his agent Scott Boros, who's a, you know, baseball only agent, and he has a pretty good handle on these things. I think it's pretty safe to say he's going to be playing baseball in another few months.
Yeah, 5-9 didn't work out so well for Doug Flutie, but that's not a pass we want to revisit here in Chicago right now. Well, actually, it didn't work out badly. He went up to Canada, won a bunch of great cups, came back, had a good career in the NFL, but it certainly didn't work in Chicago. All right, Greg, before we got to run, we want to get a pick from you, your thoughts, any analysis you want to add to tonight's game out at Soldier Field.
I think, and I had it in the write-up in Pro Football Weekly, I like the Bears by 3 points and for a lot of reasons. First being the Rams. This is their third, not quite cross country, but from the West Coast to the Midwest, this is the third long plane ride they've had in a matter of 8 days. I think that plays into a little bit. It's not going to be a huge thing, especially because the game's at night versus 12 o'clock. But it will have an effect on their body some. I think the cold's going to have an effect on their body. And then when you look at the Bears need this game more than the Rams need it, and the Rams got a pretty easy schedule. After this week, they play San Francisco, Arizona, and I forgot who else their other game is against. Oh, Philly. They got host Philly that's really not playing well next week. So I think there's a lot of little things that point to the Bears being able to win this game, and they will win this game by 3 points.
All right, Greg, thank you very much. We will talk to you again next week prior to the Packers game. That is Greg Gabriel. We're going to take a quick break here. I got to tell you, Pat, I was outside quite a bit today. It was really nice out in the sun.
That's
yeah.
When we walked in here, I wanted to go play golf.
The sun is gone, and that's going to make a big difference. But
it looks like there's no breeze. So it's going to be a cold day for him. It'll be a different a difference to him. And I want to ask, I think it's Rich Hammond, the beat reporter for the LA Rams, is going to be on next. I want to ask him about the Rams. I believe they had a walkthrough yesterday here, and I'm wondering if that was to kind of acclimatize them to a little bit of the 30-degree weather.
I would think so. I was on with the guys actually out in San Diego yesterday with the Rams affiliate out there, and they were asking about it. And I said, guys, I've lived here all my life. Feels like spring to me.
This is a great
I don't think it's going to be as big a factor as
everybody.
And by the way, not everybody who plays from the Rams is from California. No. I mean, they may be playing out there, but a lot of guys who are used to this. So I don't know if the weather is going to be that big a deal. We've got to take a quick break here. As Patrick just said, Rich Hammond covers the Rams for the Orange County Register. Rich, good enough to stop by with us in just a couple minutes. We'll get an in-depth breakdown of the Bears' opponent this evening, the first place number one seed currently in the NFL, LA Rams. That's next here at 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.